You are listening to a sermon by Pastor Hoffman of Christ Lutheran Church in Coos Bay, Oregon. In the name of Jesus, amen. The sermon for this 15th Sunday after Trinity is according to St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 24 to 34. It's hard when you try very hard to keep your sins to yourself and not to share them, and then somebody goes and gives them away, confesses your sins, if you will. And today is no different. We see the same thing, but it's happening in the scriptures. To say we live in anxious times is a gross understatement. Although we all know that there is certainly nothing new under the sun, people have basically worried about the same things that we do since the dawn of time. Imagine this: plagues, governments, wars, weather, natural disasters. Is anything new to anybody here yet? We also can't help but look around at the events and the conditions we're currently facing and feel anxiety like we've never felt before. And for everyone who says they're not anxious, save it. If you wear the flesh of Adam and Eve, and if you have things that make you anxious and cause you to worry and stress, you may not be anxious about the same crazy things as your neighbor, but you're still anxious about something, probably many different things. I don't know how you couldn't be. And at this point, we could easily turn this into a whole lesson on anxiety. Lord knows we have more than enough material to work with. Besides that, Jesus himself uses the word anxious 6 times. I hope that didn't make you anxious by counting it. But 6 times in these 11 verses, so it's not like we'd be forcing a theme. This text is filled with anxiety, and yet that's really not what this lesson is all about. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We're getting back to even Bible study today. The focus of the Bible, the focus of everything we read in Holy Scripture. Once again, Jesus is really good at this. Summing it up. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's what it's literally about, the kingdom of God, the coming of God. It's not just some little handbook on dealing with day-to-day chicken soup type issues. But sure, we could spend all day and then some talking about all of our anxieties and fears, and that's good to not think you're hiding them. But to all of it, our Lord commands to stop. Stop being anxious. Seek first God's reign and rule and his justification. That's really what this is all about. Priorities. Seeking first the reign and rule of God. Seeking first his righteousness. Seeking first his justification. So what are your priorities? It's kind of what it boils down to. If you're honest, you'll confess that even the basic things you are so anxious about, clothing, food, money, do wind up taking center stage in life. These last 6 months have shown without a doubt that some of our anxieties and fears have taken absolute control. They've taken control of our lives. They've taken control of our economy. They've taken control of our healthcare system, our education system, and even our lives of faith. Our anxieties and fears and worries have come to start dictating everything. Now, before I go any further, I do need to make clear that there's a difference between faithful concern and faithless worry. You are expected to be concerned about all the gifts God entrusts to your care, including the gifts of health, certainly your finances, and your life. We're not to simply drop the reins and throw caution to the wind, doing whatever we want, fully expect that God will cover us in our selfishness. You are not to put God to the test. You are expected to be a good steward. You are. You're expected to be a good manager. You should be concerned. However, you are not to be anxious and worry about things you can't change. But telling that to a person with anxiety, I realize. After church, I will spend an hour hitting my head against this until I move the church 1 inch that way. It's hard. If you weren't sinners, then it wouldn't be hard. But it doesn't go without saying, because I'm your pastor, and nothing seems to ever go without saying. So what's the difference? In a nutshell, it comes down to a simple first commandment issue. Merim na'o, the word translated as anxious by Jesus, is heavily freighted with the language of doubt and unbelief. O ye of little faith, that Jesus says, is not a compliment. That's a problem. Merim na'o carries with it the meaning of having your thoughts and cares consumed by something other than God. Simply put, whatever makes you anxious can become your God if you are not careful. It's your chief concern. It is your chief worry. Anxiety winds up dethroning God. We wind up serving the gods of our anxieties rather than the one true God. These last 6 months are a prime example. And we're all guilty of it, including the guy in the pulpit. We all have our anxieties. We all have things that we put before God. It's not up for debate. You can justify your particular anxieties if you want, but that still doesn't make it right. Do not be anxious. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's cut and dry. Your Lord leaves you no wiggle room. If you are honest, you will confess that you don't trust in God above all things all the time, including the guy in the pulpit. It really is so very simple and cut and dry when Jesus says it. Yeah, sounds good, Lord. This is why our Lord uses such elementary examples to make a point. We're not ready for intermediate. Consider the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. Does not your heavenly Father provide a superabundance for them? Take a look outside of yourself for a moment. Notice what he does. He goes, stop looking in the mirror. Look at something else God has made. Just consider the little sparrows of this world. Consider the lilies of the field, the grass even. Just look at how well provided for and beautifully arrayed God makes field grass. You are of so much more value, he tells us. You are the only creature in all of creation that God created himself and breathed his life-giving pneuma, his spirit, his breath of life into. Everything else was spoken into existence, but not man, though. God himself formed man with his own hands, and then God himself gave divine CPR to that lifeless dust, breathing his own Holy Spirit into this man-made, hand-made man. If the birds of the air and the grasses of the field are treated so well by God, Doesn't that kind of put things into perspective for you? See, he's not down talking birds. That's the funny thing. He's not down talking grass. He's not down talking lilies by comparing them to you. He's showing, look at how God treats his stuff. Now, check you out. You have his breath going, that spirit in you, that life you have is his. You see, because he doesn't need to bring something down to raise something up. Consider also Jesus' statement on anxiety and the span of life. Which of you, by being anxious, could add a single hour to your span of life? We know the answer to that already. We didn't actually have to read the Bible study, the Bible lesson, to know the answer to that. If anything, the reality is tragically opposite, isn't it? At least that's the school my doctor went to. Hey, Brunt, stress, bad. Happiness, good. Medically speaking, he keeps it simple for me. He's a birds of the field kind of guy. Anxiety doesn't add to our lives, but it can certainly cut your life short. People get so worked up over, let's see, I'll name a few, and I'm sure you've got your own list. Retirement accounts, how much gluten is actually in there? Masks, social distancing, quarantine, only to kneel over dead from an aneurysm or a heart attack brought on by stress and anxiety. This is why our Lord ends this discourse by warning about not being anxious about tomorrow. He says, sufficient for today is its own trouble. Hey, people, everything that's going on today is enough for you. I've got tomorrow too. This all goes right back to seeking first the kingdom and rule of God and his righteousness, his justification. We get so worried and anxious about the things like elections and vaccines and even sicknesses that could possibly land us in the hospital and cause us prolonged suffering. We get so anxious about things we can't even control, things that might take place days, weeks, and months down the line. And what about today? You don't know what today holds. You don't know what the next hour or even the next 10 minutes hold. And ironically, once again, for people that say, I'm worrying and worrying and worrying about coronavirus, did you know worrying makes your immune system go down? It's like Jesus knew something. So rather, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first his righteousness and his justification. I can't help but think of the parable of the guy who had so much stuff to worry about that he took it upon himself to build a bigger barn and silo. Fool! Tonight, your soul is demanded of you. What are you going to give right now in exchange for your soul? God doesn't take IOUs. I've checked. I've read the whole Bible a couple times. God doesn't deal in the currency of mammon. Can't serve mammon. And anxiety. Seek ye first God's reign and rule and his righteousness. And that's where our focus needs to be. It's so weird. Isn't this weird that we were just talking about this in John Bible study, people? I swear I don't prepare that. We just talk about what is central in the Bible. Is it worry? Is it happiness? It is no. It is the seeking the kingdom of God, because Jesus comes right out and says, I have preached your coming kingdom. That's what I've done. That's the authority that Jesus has, that he literally has the right to say the kingdom of God is coming. And that's what he preached while he healed and fed. He wasn't the bread king that they tried to make him because they took their eye off the ball. He is the preacher of the coming of God for you. That's where our focus is. That life-saving, life-giving, divine righteousness that took on the very flesh of man in order to redeem you. That's what Jesus says in John 17, that I have done this so that they would have life. Just look at the cross. Here is God's remedy to your anxieties and worries and cares and concerns. Here is God's payment for sin in full. Here is God's unconditional and incomprehensible love for you. What he's done is taken this love for you and nailed it to a cross, pierced with a spear, and sacrificed for you. And make no mistake, Jesus, as full man, was greatly concerned about all this. Father, if there is any other way, take this cup from me. As full God, Jesus knew what the wrath of God against sin meant. He knew what it entailed. Still, in spite of the fear and concern, he prays, nevertheless, thy will, not my will, be done. That's the game changer between Jesus and sinners, isn't it? The ones that'll sit there and go, I am just going to worry this church over one inch. Thy will be done, and it was. In spite of all the impending suffering and sorrow, Jesus sought first the reign, the rule, and the will of his Father. He lowered himself to even the lowliest of men. He made himself last because this was good and gracious will of his Father. And when the good and gracious will of his Father was completed, he cried out in victory, Tetelestai, it is finished. Mere moments before commending his spirit to his heavenly Father and peacefully falling asleep in the hands of his God and Father, Christ died in total peace. The cup of suffering and wrath had been consumed in full, and all the bitter dregs and lees included, no anxiety, no more fear, no more wrath, it is finished. And that remained, and all that remained was joy and a peace of God that passes all understanding, a joy and a peace that is known only in Christ Jesus. It's no wonder he prayed for his disciples the night before he was crucified, because he knew, I'm sending them out to work for me, and we're going to see tomorrow what happens to me and to those who follow me. It's not pretty. As a matter of fact, it's ugly. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this is our reality right now. In spite of all the anxiety-producing things in our lives, we, by virtue of our baptism into Christ, are fully and completely redeemed. Why are you so anxious about what you will wear? Through holy baptism, you have been clothed with the all-availing righteousness in Christ. Honestly, is there anything more important? We have the Father's mercy, grace, and peace, the currency for his transaction being Jesus' own crucified body and blood, the very same body and blood he so richly and abundantly nourishes us with today in his supper. Let that sink in for a moment. Here in your midst is the reign and the rule of Almighty God. Here is the righteousness of God for you. Just one little bread. Just one little drop contains the superabundance of God's grace and mercy and peace for all eternity. This is the overflowing abundance of love and peace your Lord fills you with in his holy meal. Why are you so anxious about what you will eat or drink? Sacramentally, that's who we are as Christians. We are sacramental that God provides us supernatural means using very simple looking things. He even teaches the same way that he blesses. Look at these simple things. You walk by how many birds every day and not care? How much grass did you walk by today and not care? How many beautiful flowers did you not notice? And Jesus is going, hey, check these out. I made those. Now, you can look at yourself and see how much even God gives to you. But again, nobody's telling you to drop the reins and crank Jesus, take the wheel on the way home. No one is telling you to give up on life and to not be a good neighbor, to not be a good steward of all that God has indeed entrusted to you. All God says is keep it in the proper order. Seek ye first the kingdom of God in his reign, his rule, his righteousness, his justification. Hold fast to the fact that he is working all things for you, for the good of those who love him. That means that no matter how bad things may get in life, according to the world's standard, you actually belong to him. And he is working all things for your good. Whether you live or die, you are resurrected and alive in Christ, and the best is yet to come. To live is Christ, and to die is gain, right? I didn't make that up. Well, then, why so anxious? You know, all this talk of God's gospel goodness and providence and grace, sometimes it makes me anxious, but in a good way. I'm anxious to go and to be with Christ, but I don't hasten it. I'm anxious to receive Holy Communion today. And I'm clearly not hastening that because my sermon is an extra page longer. I want his gifts. I want his grace. I want his peace. I want his blessing. And I want his assurance. I want his hope. I hunger and thirst for this righteousness. How about you? So let's call it a day. Let us seek the first and most important things. God and his righteousness. Seeking and finding him right where he tells you to look. Right where he himself is holding out these gifts of life, love, and peace to all who will receive. May this Christ-centered reality drive away all of your anxieties and point you to Jesus Christ. May it give you peace and may it guard and keep your hearts and minds for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, now and into all eternity. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds in the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.